So they points out something interesting about Parshas Ki Tse. Parshas Ki Tse. Parshas Ki Tse starts off with the Parsha of Yitzhak Toyer, which is, Rashi says, B'Melchemes HaRashus HaKosav Medaber, which is talking about a voluntary Melchama. Klal Yisrael goes to Melchama because they want to go to Melchama. There's some Rashus reason, not that it's Amalek or the seven nations that live in Eretz Canaan that were Mechuyev to go to Melchama, but there's some practical reason to go to Melchama. B'Melchemes HaRashus HaKosav Medaber. That's the beginning of Parshas Ki Tse. The last thing in Parshas Ki Tse is Machay Timcha Zecher Amalek, which is a Melchemes Mitzvah. That's a commandment. That's a Melchama that we're Mechuyev to do. It's interesting that we start off with the Melchemes HaRashus, the voluntary Melchama, and we end off with the Melchemes HaMitzvah. It would have seemed more appropriate to start off with the Melchemes Mitzvah, start off with my Chiyuvim, and then talk about the things that aren't Chiyuvim. What's the pshat in this Seder, starting with the Melchemes HaRashus, and ending with Melchemes Mitzvah? So I want to talk a little bit about the Parashah of Yifas Toyer, and then through that I think we can have an interesting understanding of this order. Just going through the Pesukim, just so we should know the Pesukim of Yifas Toyer. What the Pesukim are. Ki seiti lamelcham ala yivecha, if you'll go to war on your enemy, Unisana Hashem alekecha biyodecha, and Hashem will give him in your hands, and Hashem will, if you'll win, Yishavisa shivya, and you'll capture captives. V'ro'isa ba'shivya eishas yifas toyer, and you'll see among the captivity a beautiful woman, v'choshaktaba, and you'll have a desire for her, v'lokachta l'chal isha, and you may take her as a wife. And now the Pesukim explain what the tanayim are to be able to take her as a wife. V'hivesa al-teich be'secha, you should bring her into your house, v'gilcha es reisha, and shave her head, v'asasa tziparneh, which according to most people means to cut her nails. Rashi says it means, Rashi and the Ebenezer say it means to grow longer, to grow that they shouldn't be nice, but others say, the Balaturim, the Ramban, say it means to cut her nails. Behesira simlas shivya me'alea, and you should remove the clothing of captivity from on her. The Mefarshim explained that they used to dress up in very provocative clothing in Muhammad to distract the soldiers. So remove the simlas shivya me'alea. V'yashva b'veisecha, and she should sit in your house. Uvachsa es avia v'es ima yerach yamim, and she should cry for her mother and her father for a month's time. V'achar kach yovei aleo ba'alta, then you can take her and be with her, v'haysa l'chalish, and she'll be your wife. That's the psukim of Yifas Toyer. And Rashi says, the very famous Rashi, that the truth is that the idea of forcibly converting a woman, and because someone has a cheshik for her in order to marry her, is not a Jewish thing. It's not a Yiddish azach. And Rashi says be'emes. The way Rashi says it be'emes, maybe the Torah would have wanted to say that that's aser. Boyal aramis kanoim poigimba. A goyish woman is aser to us. But Rashi says loydibra Torah ella keneged yetzahara. The Torah speaks in response to the Yetzirah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that in this situation, if he won't be matir her, then it will be impossible for us to hold back, and a soldier might take her be'isr. And since the Torah was only given, every single mitzvah in the Torah is something that we can accomplish. Hashem does not give us tests that we can't pass. This would have been a test that we can't pass, that possibly we can't pass. And therefore, the Torah is matter. Just as a side point, it's an interesting thing that this is the only thing we find in the Torah that it says that really Hashem wanted to say that it's aser, but Hashem was matter because we wouldn't be able to be oimed b'nisayin. Just to explain a little bit what's going on behind it, I think it's just important to realize, and this is historically true, what happens to a soldier when he's in battle. One of the reasons why it's a little bit easier for us to do what's right and to keep our standards is because we have a structure of society. Even our own Yiddish society is a society. We don't go into other people's houses. We respect other people's property. We try to build and make things nice. it's a constructive, respectful society. The whole job of a soldier is to be destructive and disrespectful, is to invade, is to break open. That's the mentality of a soldier. So we can see how that mentality can creep into his whole mindset, and this is historically true, that soldiers are well known as being plunderers and rapists and all these things, because their whole focus is on the destruction, the heroes of society. So that's what brings out that midah. There are many interesting dikdukim in the psukim here. There are many ha'aras on the psukim over here. I'm just going to say two of them that cause the mefarshim to look for something deeper in these psukim. Kiseite la milchama. If you go, la milchama in Hebrew is short for leha milchama. To the war. La milchama means to the war, not to war. Le milchama means to war. La milchama means leha milchama, to the war. What's the war? It's a war. You go to war. It's any war. What's the war? And the second question is even more powerful than the first. Kiseiti la milchama ala yivecha, against your enemy. What was the havamina? You're going to go to war against your friend? It should say, you go to war, I'll figure out that's probably not my best friend that I'm going to war with. Maybe it was once my good friend, but not anymore. Now, kiseiti la milchama ala yivecha. Thank you very much. Thanks for clarifying that for me. What does it mean on your enemy? Rabbeinu Bachaya says, and many others go after, I'm just speaking from the earlier Mefarshim, that this pasuk is talking about a certain type of war and a certain type of enemy. He says what this pasuk is referring to is the war against the prime enemy of mankind, the greatest enemy that we'll ever face, and the enemy that we always face. And that's the Yetzer Hara. And that's why it's the war. Because every war is insignificant compared to that war. This is the war that we came into the world for, to battle our Yetzer Hara. Ki seitzei la milchama, when you come, go out to the battle of life. This is the battle that life is all about. Al oyevecha, on your enemy, that's the enemy. The enemy that we exist to fight that enemy. And many mefarshim go along this path to explain the psukim that it's talking about battling the Yetzer Hara. The Zohar HaKadosh says this way also when he explains all the psukim that it's talking about the Yetzer Hara. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh goes with this mahalach and he explains that it's talking about the Yetzer Hara. They bring from one of the very early rebbes that used to say that don't think that the parasha of Yefas Toyer is talking about going to war and there's some kind of drush that it's talking about the Yetzer Hara. He said the pashup shot of the psukim is that it's talking about the Yetzer Hara. That is the pashup shot of the psukim. And they're medayik and in Rashi. Rashi doesn't say dibra Torah keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah speaks to the Yetzer Hara, you know, in response to the Yetzer Hara. Rashi says loy dibra Torah elo keneged Yetzer Hara. The Torah was only talking about the Yetzer Hara. That is the pashup shot of the psukim. There's still an interesting hemshech of the psukim of you. You see a beautiful woman, you bring her into your house, you shave her head. What's it got to do with the Yetzer Hara? Like, how does this all fit in over here? So obviously, this is just touching the surface of such deep things that this is, you know, we should get a clue when we hear that it's a Zohar that says this, that it's beyond our comprehension exactly the full meaning of all of these psukim. But I'm going to read through the psukim again, assuming that it's the Yetzer Hara. Using what the Zohar and I didn't see the Zohar inside, obviously, but I saw the way Reb Tzadik brings it, and the Arachayim HaKadosh, and how he brings it, using that Mahalach, and I think it will bring out a couple of interesting points, and then we'll have to leave the rest for years of looking deeper and deeper. This is one of the parashiyos about the Yetzer Hara. How do you deal with the Yetzer Hara? Kiseitei la milchama alo yivecha. Means, if you'll go out to war against the Yetzer Hara, going out means coming out into this world. We used to be in Shemayim. If we come out into this world, fighting the Yetzer Hara. So they say there's two ways we can come into this world. We can come into this world trying to get as much out of it as possible. And we could come into this world realizing that this world is a battlefield. This is not the place that we're supposed to have schar. This is not our ultimate destination. This is just a part of our travels, and I'm here to do business. I'm not here to have a good time. I'm here for business. Kiseti la melchama. I'm here to fight a battle. If a person will go to melchama, will go to war to fight this, will live his life as a battle, as a melchama, unisana Hashem alekecha biyodecha. Hashem will put the Yetzer into your hands. You'll win. If that's a person's attitude towards life, that I'm here to do business, I'm here to accomplish something, he'll win the war. But then the pasuk goes on, it seems to throw us off. Vishavisa shivyai, and you capture captives. What captives am I capturing? Reading the pasukim more carefully, it says, shivyai, his captives. Whose captives? What captives? It's a very, very tief of art over here. That's something for all of us to think about as we try to improve our lives and try to direct and channel our lives differently. And that is that the Yetzer Hara is a thief. Hashem created all of us with tremendous capabilities, creativity, ingenuity, talents. Hashem created all of us with many, many different talents. And the Yetzer Hara, when he took control over us, he took all of our talents and he helped us. And he used them for his benefits. Look at Hollywood today. Is there a greater example of the ingenuity of man, of the creativity of man, of the talent of man? There's so much, such a coming together of human talent that it's awe-inspiring. And it's all being orchestrated by the Yetzer Hara. He's a thief. He took the talents that Hashem gave us to serve him, and he took them captive. But if you'll go to battle against the Yetzer Hara, and Hashem will put him in your hands, v'shavisa shivyai, you'll capture back the captives that were taken from you. Take back the talents, take back the creativity for positive things. V'ra'isa v'ashivyai eisha sifas toyer. And you see in the captivity a beautiful woman. Who's the beautiful woman? So the Mefarshim say, the Rechayim HaKadosh says, it's our own neshama. It's our own neshama that after the Yetzer Hara takes charge and starts running our life, he takes our neshama and he drags it through the dirt. And he makes us do things, he makes the neshama do things it never wanted to do. And it makes him be involved in actions and in a life he never wanted to leave. And the neshama becomes taken captive by the Yetzer Hara. And when a person is doing tshuva, he recognizes in himself a beautiful woman. There's a beautiful neshama in there. It's dirtied, it's covered over, it's been abused, it's tattered. There's something beautiful in there. V'chashakta, and you have a desire for it. And that's the beauty of a Jew. That after all is said and done, when we recognize our neshama, when we have that spiritual awakening, when we have that hisayrus, when we have that coming in touch with ourselves, we want it. We want it. A Yid looks at his neshama and says, I want that. No matter what kind of filth may have covered over, when he finally is able to discern his neshama, sense that spirituality, the chashaktaba, he wants it. That's for me. I want that woman. And the Torah says, v'lokachta l'chala isha. There's hope. You can have her. You want her? You can have her. Take her to be your wife. Take the neshama back. How do I take her back? V'haveisa el toich beisecha. Take her into your house. Gilcha esreisha ve'asasa siparnea. Shave her head and cut her nails. The hair and the nails are considered like the psilas. It's like the unfeeling thing that the body produces. The mefarshim, I don't know if science agrees with this, not that it's relevant, but the mefarshim, the marsha, the chedushi agadis, and Bava Basra, maral in different places, says that hair and nails comes from the body pushing out bad stuff, pushing out the garbage. That's why people who don't have hair, sometimes, you know, it may be a sign of Kedusha. They discuss in Bava Basra. It may sound funny, but there's a Marsha in the Kedusha Agadis in Bava Basra that discusses the difference between someone with a lot of hair. Does that mean it pushed out a lot of psilas? Like, what does that mean exactly? What's it a simen of? And he talks about the difference between the hair of the beard and the hair of the head. Very, very interesting. But that's not our Indian. We have to shave off all the psalas. We take this tattered, abused neshama, and we do tshuva. We get rid of the averus. We try to clean it up. Beheisira simlas shivya me'aleh. We remove the clothing of captivity. All the coverings that covered it over. All the insulation that made our neshama not feel anymore. And we pull it off. Now the neshama can feel again. And what happens to a neshama that can feel? B'yashva b'veisecha, and she will sit in your house. Uvachsa esaviyah v'yasima. And she'll cry for her father and for her mother. Her father, that's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and her mother, that's Klal Yisrael. She cries for the lack of connection to Hashem, trying to restore the contact, trying to restore the connection, the chibur to Hashem, and trying to restore the connection to the rest of Klal Yisrael. How long is that crying? Yerach Yomim. It's a month long. Zokta Medrash, Yerach Yomim, Zu Chaydesh Elul. A month long, that's the month of Elul. So the neshama, suddenly we're talking about Elul. That's the month of Elul. Yerach Yamim. That the neshama of the person, after removing the simlas shivya, after removing all the insulation, all the things covering over, the hair and the nails and all the psalas, now the neshama can finally cry again, and it cries through the month of Elul. And then finally, v'acharkach tovei aleo ba'alta, then you can be with her, and she will be your wife, reunited with our neshama, reunited with our pnimius. Crying for a month, that's the description of Chodesh Elul, to cry for a month. It's an interesting thing, it could have said to do tshuva for a month, it could have been all kinds of ways. Crying is one of the parts of tshuva. It's not the whole tshuva. This could have said she should have charata for a month. It says she should cry for a month, because we have to understand what crying is. Crying, my Rosh Hashiva taught me that crying, we cry out of sadness, but there's a crying that a person does that has nothing to do with sadness. There's times that a person is brought to tears and has nothing to do with sadness. A person cries when he touches something deeper inside of himself. He cries when he's touched. When he taps into something deeper, he cries. When something deep inside of him is moved to the comes to the surface, he cries. A parent cries when they see their son by the chuppah, not because they're sad. It's touching something very deep inside of them, that fruition of their hopes and dreams and all their years of raising the child, it brings them to tears. When someone hears something emotional that resonates inside of him, something inside of them floats to the surface, that brings tears. That's what crying. Crying is when the pnimius is touched, when the pnimius comes out. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about penetrating through the insulation, through the hair and the nails, to find that neshama, and to restore our touch, our contact, our chibur with that neshama. That's what the parasha is talking about. I want to be in touch with my neshama again. I want to feel my neshama again. What's that called? That's crying for a month. That's the month of Elul. Interestingly, Tkiyas Shofar is also getting in touch with the pnimius. That's what the Rambam says about Tkiyas Shofar, the famous Rambam, that he says that Tkiyas Shofar is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and he says, but there's a remez, aval remez yeshla. There's a remez to it. He says that it's the Shofar is telling us, Uru yishena mishinastem, wake up, you sleeping people, from your sleep, v'nirdomim etar demastem, and the slumbering people from their slumber. And The Rambam says that the point of Tkiyas Shofar is to wake us up. What does that mean, to wake us up? What happens when a person is sleeping? When a person is sleeping, his neshama has left a little bit. So it's a little bit of a misa. He's not in touch with his neshama. They say, for example, that when you, the Sfarim bring this, and I think this is a true thing, they say that when you wake someone up, if you use their name, they wake up faster. If you use the person's name, you wake up faster. As a matter of fact, I think I've even seen this. If you're waking up someone in a room and there are two people sleeping and you say one of their names, the right person will wake up. And the other one will sleep right through. That's an incredible thing. You made the same amount of noise. The pshat is that a person identifies, his neshama identifies with his name. And when you call his name, it calls back up his pnimius. That which was sleeping inside of him comes back to the surface. But you didn't call the other person's pnimius. Uru yishena mishinaskam is wake up from the sleep. That's Hashem is saying, you've fallen asleep, you're a robot, you're not in touch with your neshama anymore. Get back in touch, wake up. That's what the shofar says. The Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah learn halachas of a shofar from crying, from Ein Sisra's crying. From crying, and now that we've discussed this, we understand why. Because a cry is when my pneumius, my inside has been touched, it's coming to the surface. And Uru Yishena Mishinaschem is also when the pneumius has been brought to the surface, comes up. It's a cry. The shofar is a cry. It's an unbelievable thing. That means that the whole Chodesh Elul, when we hear a shofar every morning, we're being mekayim uvachsa asaviyah v'yasima yerach yamim. When we listen to the cry of the shofar every morning, we're crying for a month. That's the parasha of Yifas Toya. Thanks. But there's a problem, and it's bothered me. I've said over similar things many times before. This is a very classic piece about Yifas Toya. many of the Sfarim go along these lines. But there's something about it that bothered me every year that I learned this piece. And that is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a choice of teaching me how to fight my Yetzirah in a Melchemes Rishus, in a Melchama that's a voluntary Melchama, or in a Melchemes Mitzvah, a Melchama which is an obligation, a Mitzvah, which type of Melchama do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have chosen to teach me how to fight my Yetzirah? So I always assumed I should have had to fight my Yetzirah. The Mashal should have always been in a Melchemes Mitzvah. Because it's not voluntary fighting our Yetzirah. The war with our Yetzirah is not voluntary. It's a mitzvah. It's a chayva. We have to fight our Yetzirah. So why is the mashal to fighting my Yetzirah hiding in psukim of Melchemes Rishus? I think that's a very, very strong question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yachal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have found the case of Melchemes Mitzvah to teach me these foundations about how to fight my Yetzirah. Why did Hashem choose b'melchemes harishus akasuv medaber? We're talking about, if I want to go, in the pashup shat, it's a war that I can choose if I want to go to or not. And in the deeper pshat, well, according to the chassidish, that's the pashup shat. In the deeper pshat, it's a melchama that I have to go to. The Torah is perfect. And if we're talking about a certain type of melchama, that means that all the pshatim and in all the levels, it's that type of melchama. What's the melchemes harishus over here? And I realized, I was thinking about this over Shabbos, and I realized it was almost like it hit me hard. I realized I think there's a tremendous, massive yesod over here. It's a tremendous yesod. Many times, the things that we know that we have to change, the averis that we're doing, the yetzahara that we have to find, we feel like it's too hard. We don't feel like we're ready to make those changes right now. We're not up to there yet. We're not ready to make those changes. But even so, many times we can change the environment that we're in so that we don't hit those nesiyanis. For example, whenever I talk to Pliny, I talk Lashon Hara. I'm not ready to learn how to talk to him and not talk Lashon Hara. But I can't stop talking to him so much. Now that's a rishus. It doesn't say in the Torah, talk or don't talk to somebody. That's a rishus. Who I'm in contact with, who I do business with, what the environment of my home is, and all those things, those are rishus. That's up to me. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch these things. It's up to me. But the way I set up my rishus life can sometimes be a protection against the things that I do have to worry about that may be too hard for me to deal with right now. So if there's a nisayan in the next room that I know that I can't pass, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, don't go into the next room. That's rishus. But if I fight the battle on the rishus front and I don't go into that room, I'll prevent myself from ever reaching, losing the battle on the Melchemes Mitzvah front. A person sometimes can't hold himself back from talking about certain things by a Shabbos table, let's say. His Shabbos table he knows is not appropriate. But what's the environment of his Shabbos table? What type of company does he invite? Does he think about Shabbos? Is it a spiritual experience? If he creates the... It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, it's usher to say such and such, or it's, you have to create this environment, or chayovim lezamer zmiris. It doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch. It's minhagim, it's rishus, basically. But the way I set up my home, the way I set up the environment, can be a protection. If I stay around this environment, can be a protection that when I hit them, that I should never have to be in a situation that I'm fighting that nisayon, that melchemes mitzvah. Now this is what we started with. The parasha ends with the melchemes mitzvah, the fighting Amalek. Amalek is the source of all evil. The Yairish of Esav, the Yairish of the Nachash. Amalek represents the Yetzer Hara itself and all of its evil. It could be that there's a, and I think I see it in Reb Tzadik, it could be that there's a process here. And that is that the parasha starts with the Melchemes Rishos. I can't always destroy the Yetzer Hara in one fell swoop. I can't do that. But I can control my environment. I can control my Rishos life so that it protects me from being vulnerable to the Yetzer Hara. And if I do that, and I work on steiging and growing, ultimately, I'll reach a point that I can go destroy Amalek. I can go and I can't hit that Yetzer Hara. So I think this thing that baffled me for years, of why the mashal of Melchemes Yetzer is B'Melchemes HaRishus HaKasav Medaber, I think there's a message there, B'Melchemes HaRishus HaKasav Medaber. Sometimes it's hard for me to change the Melchemes Mitzvah. Let me rethink my environment. Let me rethink my, what we call my Holech Yelech, my going on in life, my life, my contacts, my attitudes, my schedule. Let me think about how I set things up in the day. Let me think about these things that there's no halachas about. And let me see if by changing the environment, by changing the structure, if that's a way that I can battle the Yetzer Hara. I can find my neshama, I can cry for the month, and ultimately I can take my neshama back. And as the Mefarshim say, as we head back into Yom Kippur, that's the Achakach Yovei Eleu V'Alta, they say, Zu Yom Kippur, that we go into Yom Kippur completely reunited with our neshama.